Okay. So last week, Eric reminded me to record. And I turned it on, and then I heard it in my ear where the AirPods disconnected, and it never turned back on. So I had 14 seconds. So my apologies. Don't have last week's recording. Okay, so this morning we're going to be discussing the second type of at least three different types of love that exist in the husband-wife relationship. And this morning we're going to be talking about affectionate love. Romance. Told Jennifer not to call me out during class on this one. This is something that maybe I think husbands struggle with connecting with what their wives may want or need. Doesn't mean we don't feel that affection, but maybe we express it in a different way. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at some biblical examples. So affectionate love, what is it? You know, what is affectionate love? It's the I would say somewhat of a friendship. It's the warmth, it's the romance that exists, it is the spice in the marriage, right? We talked about caring love in detail and how that love is looking out for the best interest of your mate. And that's not always about feeling or emotion. Although we talked about that the two can be very much related. When one or both spouse feel that caring love or they see it demonstrated, it should bring about those feelings of warmth. But not always. This is based on the delight or the pleasure that you find in your mate. Now, we know that this existed when you dated and when you got married. Otherwise, you wouldn't be together if you didn't feel this type of affectionate love towards one another. So, if you would turn over to Genesis chapter 29. What does the Bible have to say about affectionate love? I guess I'm going to have to use my glasses this morning. Chapter 29, verse 11, then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 17, Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Now, is this caring love? Is that what Jacob had for Rachel after he saw her? No, she was beautiful of form and appearance. Are guys visual? I don't think you have to look very far at advertising, television, media, to find out that those who are beautiful of form and appearance are the ones that are put into these ads. Why? Because men are visual. How is it that 7 years, 7 years, Jacob worked for Laban, and it seemed as just a few days? I think everybody in this room knows what that feels like. When you first met your mate and how you felt about him or her, it's a feeling that I can't necessarily put into words, but we all know what I'm talking about. We've all felt it. What was Jacob's love based on initially? Appearance. Is that okay to say? That it was based on her appearance? That's where this type of love that he had for her started. So unlike caring love, which always seeks the welfare of the other person, this love is based on the delight or the pleasure that you have in this other individual. So I'm just going to stop here for a question. First, going to talk to the wives. So wives, you've been married a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, whatever your situation may be. Do you still do the things that first created that pleasure or delight your husband had in you? Are you still taking care of yourself the same way that you did? We can't deny the fact that men are visual. Are you still trying to be that person that your husband fell in love with? Or have you decided, well, we're married, it doesn't really matter anymore? And you say, that's ludicrous, but I'm telling you, I've met plenty of people, that's their attitude. It's like, well, we're married now, what's... I mean, one thing I appreciate about Jennifer is she always wants to look good, and it's not for everybody else. She's made it very known. She wants to look good for me. And I try to do the same. Now, are men the only ones that are visual? I would say that probably if you look at the statistics or the overall, men may be more visual than women. But it's not always the case. I will tell you, Jennifer will tell you she's a very visual person too. And that's not an unbiblical concept. Look over in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Starting in verse 9. What is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved, that you so charge us? My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold set with beryl. His body is carved ivory inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Is she talking about his personality? He's got a good attitude. He's nice to me. No, she's describing his physical appearance. She's explaining her affection based on the way that he looks. So, guys, I'll ask you the same question. Are you trying to keep yourself lovely and an object of affection? Something that your wife can be... find delight in, find pleasure? Or is it the same thing? Yeah, we're married now, you know, that was 20 years ago, and I got older, and maybe added a few pounds, and that's just the way it is. Affectionate love is, again, like caring love, is not something that always just stay. You had it. You had it when you dated. You had it when you married. What are you doing to keep it? Or do you just have the attitude, well, you know, that just wears off? What do you see in the absence of this type of affectionate love? Turn back over to Genesis chapter 29. We talked about Rachel. What happens to, in this case, a wife who doesn't feel this affectionate love? Well, we know that was Leah, right? I mean, we know Jacob never wanted to marry Leah. He was tricked. And it says that she was not a beautiful of form and appearance. It says her eyes were delicate, or your translation may say weak, indicating that she was not the pretty girl that Rachel was. And so, did Jacob take, is there anything to indicate in this passage that Jacob didn't take care of Leah? That he didn't have the caring love for her? It doesn't say that. But let's look at how Leah felt. If you look down in verse 31 of Genesis chapter 29, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, "The Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also," and she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons." Therefore his name was called Levi. So how did Leah feel about her condition in the marriage?
She had it, but
she didn't have it. And she craved it. She craved that affectionate love from him. And what did she do? She decided that having children would be the way to gain his affection. And this makes sense because in the Hebrew culture, what was a sign of honor?
Childbearing,
large family. So Leah saw it as, if I bear him these kids, then that will bring me into his good graces. I will get this type of affectionate love that I so desperately want that I'm not getting.
So,
yeah.
In verse 31, it says the Lord saw it too. So wasn't it Leah missed the point? She's weak or shallow or something like that. No, she got it. She was right on.
And I believe you make a good point. The Lord saw her affliction. He understood and had compassion for her situation. Now, have you ever been in a situation where people are having trouble in their marriage and they think having kids is going to be the answer? Not the answer. It wasn't the answer for Leah. In fact, it just adds more complications than it does solve problems. But yet we see sometimes couples that are having issues and they think, well, having kids, that'll be what takes care of the problem. It didn't help. Look in chapter 30 and verse 19. Then Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, "God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will dwell with me because I have borne him six sons." She called his name Zebulun. And if you look, we're not going to get into the details, but if you look at the meaning of each of these child's names, you can understand just how deep Leah's affliction was. I personally have not experienced feeling unloved in a marriage. And I'm very thankful for that. And I'm talking about it, the affection. Jennifer is very affectionate. But I would not want to be in that situation. And I can at least understand from the outside looking in how difficult that would be to be in a relationship where you don't feel that your spouse has that affection for you anymore. And how lonely that must be. You may be well taken care of. You have what you need. Your spouse looks out for your best interest. All of those things. But if you don't have that romance, that affection, I can only imagine that, like Leah, that's a very lonely existence. Sean.
Their children the same way. And I understand that in a different parts of the world, you know, you have arranged marriages, and there's something to be said about that, and that goes to the committed kind of love, which can produce affection, but there's just this common sense that's missing. And whenever you know that the marital responsibilities that you have, why would you shoot yourself in the foot by trying to yoke yourself to someone that you're just forcing yourself? It's a blessing from God. And so I appreciate you bringing this up, because it's not easy to say this, but it is true. And I think everyone knows it. It's difficult to stay up.
It is. Because as we go through this class, I'm not talking as much to you guys as I'm talking to myself, okay? So understand, I recognize the challenges that this brings. And I think you made a good point where you said he had her, but he didn't have her. Because did they live together? Did Leah dwell with Jacob? Were they not in the same family? They were around each other? Nothing to indicate, like we said, that he didn't have this caring love for her. But she felt this.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
First of all, she was forced to help him by the father. That is not what he wanted. He took her in and then served another 7 years and got to the point. So you can see that she come in and gifted the first place that he really loved her. So she obviously was trying to do things to get some of that. But there again, this is not the type of marriage that God ever intended from the beginning. So that's something we need to consider too.
No, and I think that's...
And he loved Rachel, but she wanted kind of affection and love that he was giving Rachel.
Oh, you can only imagine the jealousy she had towards her sister. To see the affection between Jacob and Rachel, and she didn't have it. The other kind of love that we're going to talk about is sexual love or intimacy, right? She had intimacy in that regard, right? She bore him children. So they had sexual love, but she didn't have this one. She didn't have the affectionate love. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. How can a woman gain and maintain her husband's affection? What are some things that she can do? Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. If a husband thinks his wife is lazy, does that make him feel affectionate towards her? If let's say she doesn't work outside the home, and he comes home and the house is a wreck, she's still in her pajamas, hasn't fixed herself up, anything. I guarantee you, when you were dating, you weren't going to be caught dead without your, whatever your appearance may have been. Again, we're talking about the physical. And while, again, it may seem shallow, it's not. Are you showing respect for your spouse when you don't keep your personal appearance up? That's not how you got him or her to begin with. And what about causing shame? If your wife or husband does or says things or acts in a way in front of other people that brings shame to him or her, are you going to have that affection? Are you going to feel warm towards that person? Especially if it's about their mate. If you can't trust them to respect the marriage that you have, and if you know that he or she is out talking about your relationship or about him or her, he always does this, or he's lazy. That's not going to bring about those feelings of warmth and delight. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. And verse 13. A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Compare that with chapter 21 and verse 9. Better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Can I say this is funny? Is that okay? It's better to dwell in the corner of a house. I just have a mental image of a guy hiding in his house because of a nagging wife. Constantly finding something wrong, something to criticize her husband. That's not how you were when you dated. That's not how you were when you got married. Peggy. Okay. Wives, are you looking? Listen, as a husband and a father, I know I've got faults. I know I have things, and sometimes Jennifer needs to call me out on it. She needs to talk to me about it. But if she were just constantly reiterating and nagging every little thing that I did, and this works in reverse. It works the same way for a husband to his wife. If all you see and hear from your spouse is just constant criticism, are you going to feel warm and affectionate? No, you're not. You'd rather go be the guy hiding in the attic. We've already referred to in previous classes, Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 1, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So wives, if your affectionate relationship with your husband is not what you want it to be today, what can you do about it? And I'm not talking about just in objective terms what a wife can do for a husband. Because every wife and every husband are different. Every relationship is different. I'm talking about what can you do for your husband. Do you know his likes and dislikes? And you can use this conversely. I'm not speaking just to one or the other. But don't come up after me like, why are you talking about the likes? I'm talking to me as a husband as well. What can I do to make sure that I maintain that feeling of warmth and affection? I know what she likes and I know what she doesn't like. Sometimes I choose not to do what she likes because I'm being selfish. But you know your husband, you know your wife. What are the things that they like that you can do to rekindle those feelings or to maintain those feelings? And to the husbands, if we were just take all the wives out of the room and say, husbands, does your wife feel that affectionate love from you? Could you be objective enough to answer that question? And even if she does, to what level? Would you say, husbands, would your wives answer the question, I feel the proper amount of affectionate love for my husband? Sometimes men equate this type of love with sex. Guys, it's not it. It's not it. Sexual love is not affectionate love. One can lead to the other, but this is not the same. This is not what women are looking for. And if you have affectionate love, does that mean that your marriage is in a good place? Maybe not. Because affectionate love in the absence of caring love can be selfish, cruel, and dangerous. And we're going to look at a couple of those examples now. So, Genesis chapter 34. Many of you probably already know, your title in your Bible may say the Dinah incident, the heading. Wow, that's really covering up a lot. Just calling it an incident. Right? Genesis chapter 34. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. Is this verse 3 love? Is this caring love? Did Shechem care for Dinah in the way we've talked about before? No. Obviously not. But yet, even though he had already had sex with her, he still felt this affection toward her, right? He spoke tenderly to her. He had this delight or pleasure, this feeling of warmth towards her. So here we have affectionate love without caring love. He had these feelings. He wanted to be nice to her. And here's the thing. Depending on your translation where it says he violated her, this may or may not have been consensual. It may have been consensual. And you can look over in Deuteronomy as to what the ramifications were based on whether the woman was consensual or non-consensual, but that's really not the point of the passage. The point is Shechem had affectionate love for Dinah. But in the absence of caring love, we see how what this led to. Now, this is an extreme situation where you ended up having, you know, Jacob's sons completely plundering the city and wiping them out. But it all started with the seed of affectionate love without caring love. Judges chapter 16, one that we're all familiar with, Samson and Delilah. Did Delilah love Samson? Did Delilah love Samson?
Never said it. Never says that she loves Samson.
Sometimes love, this affectionate love can be a one-way affair, right? Have you ever seen a relationship or maybe been involved in a relationship where one or the other person has this affectionate love? They are crazy. They're infatuated with the other person. And the other person, you can see, isn't into it. But they use it for their own purpose, for their own gain. Again, no caring love in this relationship.
You ever heard the phrase love is blind? Well, in this case, it actually led to real blindness. Kind of an extreme situation. I mean, you read this passage, and I'm not going to read it because we all know the story, but over and over again, Delilah is asking Samson, what is the source of your strength? And every time he tells her a lie, that's what tries to get taken away from him. Have you ever seen, or again, maybe been in a relationship where you're like, how does this relationship exist? Where one party constantly takes advantage of the other. It's so obvious, especially if you're from the outside looking in. You can tell that's a toxic relationship. And yet, the one person who is so infatuated with the other one can't see it. Samson couldn't see it. This woman was not looking out for him. Quite the opposite. And yet, he continued. And she says, what? How can you say you love me? How twisted is that? How can you say you love me when you're lying to me? Oh, I don't know. Delilah, maybe because every time I tell you something, that's what happens to me. But did Samson say, that's it, I've had enough?
No. And we saw what it brought him. And I think we've all probably been in a relationship or seen relationships where the ultimate outcome in a relationship like this is not good. So many times, something very bad has to happen before that relationship finally ends. A plenty of affectionate love. Reminds me of the proverb, chapter 26 and verse 11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. How many times did Samson repeat his folly over and over? Yeah, there was something that Samson was getting back that he...
No carrying love, like you're talking about. Something was, sometimes that happens. Sometimes people use each other for different things and don't care about each other.
No, and it's frustrating if this is a person that's close to you and you see it and you try to talk to them about it and they're not getting it. You can see that the relationship isn't good. It's not something that really makes them happy. But whatever this affection that they feel towards this person, in the absence of caring love, is destructive for themselves.
Joel, I think that's another category called crazy love. Crazy.
We've seen that, right? We've seen it.
I see another hand, Jennifer. Did you read my lesson? Because that's where we were headed. No, that's great. Because you're right. Because one or the other party can manipulate a situation. And they can manipulate it to where you can look at a variety of different things, whether it be financial, right? Where this is how you love me, as you buy me things. Or does one in the relationship compromise their values? Just like Delilah, if you love me, well, what about your spiritual values? What about your moral values? Well, if you love me, we can go this far. We can do things in a sexual nature that you know aren't right. There's pressure there. What if there's pressure to, I know that your religious values aren't correct, but I'm going to do that because I love you. And if you don't love me, or if you say you love me, but you won't do these things, then you don't really love me. It's manipulation. You're absolutely right. And you can take that to any arena you want, as far as what the other person can manipulate because of they know that this person has these feelings for them, and so they can manipulate them to do things that they know aren't right.
No, you're absolutely right. And I like your point that they all work together, right? I mean, we have the three different kinds of love we're going to talk about, but they just bleed over naturally into one another, correct? Another situation where you have affectionate love without caring love. Do you remember the story of Amnon? Over in 2 Samuel chapter 13. After this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. What do you think the love that Amnon had for Tamar was based on?
I think it's two things. One, she was beautiful. You ever seen this one? She was a challenge. She was a virgin. Because what happened after he took her virginity? He hated her. Was she all of a sudden physically ugly? But he hated her more than the love that he had for her to start with. Have you ever seen the I'm going to use a stereotype, the guy that's the conqueror, the stud, he goes after, he finds a girl, does what he wants to, and then he's done. He's moving on. Affectionate love, manipulation, has all of this romance associated with it. But it was just using it for his own purpose. We're out of time, so I'm not going to move on. I was going to use one more example, but we're going to stop here for this morning. Appreciate your attention.